You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News. Last week, port workers in BC were ordered back to work by the federal government while binding arbitration talks take place between the International Longshore Warehouse Union and the BC Maritime Employers Association, which represents federal port operators across BC. In Prince Rupert, the ILWU Local 514, which represents union workers at two of Prince Rupert's port terminals, believe Federal Labor Minister Stephen McKinnon is treating ILWU workers unfairly, which is why the union is challenging the minister's order for binding arbitration in federal court under a Charter of Rights challenge. Although negotiations between the BCMEA and the ILWU union have been ongoing for months, at the beginning of November, talks broke down, which seems to be a growing trend as of late, as postal workers are also on the picket lines today. The ILWU union is reserving comment until after the challenge of the order is reviewed by an appeals court. However, CICK did speak with Bill Tillman of West Star Communications, who has been working with the International Longshore Warehouse Union.
The current status is that the union has been ordered back to work, is back to work. They are appealing through, or they are have filed an appeal with the CIRB over the minister's back-to-work order, and they have said they'll go to the courts to challenge any arbitrated settlement. So that's kind of where things sit right now.
Workers are probably headed back, but I'm assuming there's got to be...
No, they're back. They are already back.
I'm assuming there's got to be some animosity from the union and union workers towards the government making this, you know, basically forcing this back to arbitration.
Yes, I would say that animosity towards the government is what is contained in the last one for sure.
Are you foreseeing that a strike or another walkout could happen again if the appeal is successful?
It's pretty hard to speculate on that one. If the CIRB rules today, if they were to rule that the minister's lockout order was non-constitutional or not legal, then technically, I guess it could mean that the lockout resumes. And my guys, the ILWU, only issued an overtime ban, and the employer responded with a full-scale lockout. So I don't know. I don't know if that means they're going to lift the lockout. That would be the first step. But I don't think we have. I'm not aware of any plans at the moment other than to fight it and then see where we stand.
On November 12th, the Federal Minister for Labor, Stephen McKinnon, spoke to reporters in Ottawa after ordering both sides to binding arbitration, a move some are criticizing sets a dangerous precedent for workers' rights in Canada. Here is Labor Minister Stephen McKinnon.
As Canada's Minister of Labor, it is my duty and responsibility to secure industrial peace and the national interest. So today, I have invoked my authorities under the Canada Labor Code. Under Section 107 of the Code, I've directed the Canada Industrial Relations Board to order that all operations and duties at the ports resume and to assist the parties in settling their collective agreements by imposing final and binding arbitration. Hundreds of thousands of Canadian jobs, our economy, and our reputation as a reliable and international trading partner. We rely on the movement of goods through our ports. If these work stoppages go on, the impacts will only worsen and our well-earned reputation for reliability will be put at risk. Because of these impasses, more than $1.3 billion in value of goods is affected every day. Canada's economy is taking a hit. Farmers, small businesses, manufacturers, retailers, families. The list goes on of those already feeling the impacts. Not only that, but also thousands of hardworking Canadians could be laid off if this continues, including thousands of union workers. 200 in one company, 350 in another, and that weeks before Christmas. For example, a company reached out to me yesterday and told me that because they have no vehicles left on the dock and they haven't had a vessel in a week, they will have to make layoffs as soon as today. They added that customers are ripping up their contracts and going elsewhere, U.S. West Coast, U.S. East, Gulf Coast. This is happening all across the country. The impact that these stoppages could have on Canada's potash industry would be devastating. We need the potash mine for fertilizer to reach the farmers who grow food all over the world. Already, Canadian companies relying on potash exports have had to turn to international suppliers such as Russia, driving up costs and hurting competitiveness. I am committed to ensuring a swift resolution to protect our economy and the livelihoods of Canadians. I should add that I am grateful that my predecessor, Seamus O'Regan, launched an industrial inquiry in the West Coast ports to examine structural problems with collective bargaining and others. Given the current situation, it seems clear to me that we will have to examine their work very, very carefully to see how longer-term solutions can be applied to those and other ports and similar disputes across the country. It is our government's responsibility to ensure industrial peace. The board will take up the directive, I know, with great dispatch. It should take a matter of days for them to react and issue an order. Obviously, just as in the earlier circumstance, the board is an independent agency, so its actions belong to it and it alone. But it should not take an undue amount of time. My belief and the government's belief in collective bargaining and in the fact that collective agreements that are reached at the bargaining table are the most durable agreements it is possible to conclude, that has not changed. However, when mediators, who are among, it should be said, the best in the world, inform me in three different circumstances that we are at a total impasse and the way forward is not clear, the duration of the disputes is not clear, and there is real economic, health, and other risks posed to Canadians, then that I take that responsibility extremely seriously. And Canadians, as I said, have limited tolerance right now for economic self-harm.
That was Federal Labour Minister Stephen MacKinnon speaking about his order to send BC port workers to binding arbitration. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com. or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists. I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.